Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Tamid Daf Chof Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will begin halfway down Daf Chof Tes Amud Aleph. You may notice an arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. At that point, the Gemara begins. That arrow is a reference to Chof Ches Amud Beis. So that if you have the ability to turn back to Chof Ches Amud Beis, you will notice the line, second line from the bottom, where a corresponding arrow is found, also to the right-hand side of the Gemara text. There it's pointing to a line in the Mishnah that made a reference to the quantity of ash that accumulated in the tapuach in the middle of the Mizbeach. There was a reference to 300 kor, kor being a dry measure, 300 kor measures of ash. The Gemara points out that this was an exaggeration. In fact, the title that we're assigning to this Gemara is under the Nosei heading, is as follows. You can see in the outside margin, we have a Nosei heading, Loshon Guzma, Loshon Havoi. These are expressions that indicate something that is of an exaggerated or wondrous nature. Something stated, or a description that goes beyond what actually was. You will notice also in the upcoming lines of Gemara, diamonds appearing. This is a series marking that indicates that Loshon Havoi, exaggeration, is something found in the Torah, amongst the Chachamim, and then rabbinic speech, and also in the prophets. So now we turn to the Gemara, where you'll also notice a double underline used to feature comments made by Rava. Omar Rava, Guzma. Rava says that the comment in the Mishnah of the 300 core of ash is an exaggeration. We have another Tanaic source, Hishku es hatomid b'kois shel zahav. Before slaughtering the daily sacrifice, the tomid sacrifice, they would give it to drink from a golden cup. So you have to imagine here a sheep, which is designated as the sacrifice, drinking from a golden cup. Omar Rava Guzma. Rava says that the reference to it drinking from a golden cup is an exaggeration. Omar Rebbe Ami. Dibro Torah Loshon Havoi. Dibru Nevi'im Loshon Havoi, Dibru Chachomim Loshon Havoi. Rabbi Yami points out that you find Loshon Havoi, exaggerated speech in the Torah, amongst the prophets, and amongst the sages. And now the Gemara lists these examples. Dibra Torah Loshon Havoi, Dichtiv, the Pasuk in the Torah, in Sefer Dvorim says, Orim Gedolos Ubitzuros Bashamayim, large fortified cities built in the heaven. Bashamayim Salkadaitach, is it possible that you have large fortified cities built in the sky? Ela Guzma, it's an exaggeration. In other words, the Torah is describing large cities, possibly with skyscrapers, but not something that's built literally in the sky. Dibru Chachamim Loshon Havoi. The Chachamim, the sages, employ exaggerated speech. Ha de Amoron. Tapuach. We already said the case of the large amount of ash on the Mizbeach, on the top of the Mizbeach, the Hishku es haTomid b'kois shel zahav, and the drinking of the Tomid shel shachar from a golden cup. Dibru Nevi'im Loshen Havoi. We find the prophets use exaggerated speech, Dichtiv. The Pasuk says, Mechalim v'chalilim v'tiboka horetz l'kolom. The Pasuk describes there was playing of instruments and a lot of noise being made, and as a result of the of this high decibel volume, the earth split open. Now, the idea of the earth splitting open as a result of a lot of human-generated noise is an exaggeration. Omar Rebbe Yanai Bar Nachmeni Omar Shmuel B'shloisha mekoymos dibru chachomim v'loshen havoi v'yeluhem. He points out that there are three points at which the chachomim spoke in an exaggerated fashion, and they are tapuach, gefen, uporoches. Now, these will be spoken about at greater length as we go on in the Gemara, but they are a reference to the ash accumulation of the Mizbeach, something about a gefen, which literally is a vine, and something concerning the porochas, the curtain in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, his point in enumerating these three is la'afuke midarava, to the exclusion of that which Rava had said. And we are using now a singular quotation marks to read all of this together, and then we'll see what Rabbi Yanai Bar Nachmeni was trying to do in his listing. So we just said that his list of tapuach, gefen, and parochas is lafuke midrava, to the exclusion of rava, disnan. It had been taught, hishkwes a tomid bekois shilzov, they gave the sheep of serving as the tomid sacrifice to drink from a golden cup, yoma rava guzma. In referring to that, rava said that is an exaggeration. Komash molon, Rav Yanai Bar Nachmeni, Omar Shmuel, comes to tell us, hani in these three, namely tapuach, gefen, and parochas, Hosam Loi. But the issue of the golden cup being used to feed the Tomid Shel Shachar sacrifice, that's not an exaggeration. In the Beis HaMikdash, which was the locale of the offering of the Tomid Shel Shachar, is a place of opulence. And as such, Ein Anius B'Mokom Ashirus. There is no poverty in a place of great wealth. So as a sign of wealth, they used a golden cup to give this animal to drink before its slaughtering. We should mention parenthetically that the value or the purpose of giving an animal to drink water before it's slaughtered is in order to facilitate the skinning process that takes place later. We have triangles that we are using here to help highlight the points that were mentioned by Rav Yanai Bar Nachmeni just a few moments ago. So you see in the triangle we featured the words tapuach, gefen, and on Omid Beis a triangle appears on the third line from the top around poroches. So, tapuach, hoda amoran, we already have mentioned that that is an exaggeration. The issue of the ash on the 300 kor of ash in the middle of the Mizbeach. Gefen, what's the issue concerning the vine? However, we'll see very shortly, we're not talking about a standard vine whatsoever, but rather a golden vine. Desanya, gefen, zov, hoisa, oimedes, al pesach, ahechal. There was an image of a golden vine, a vine made of gold that stood at the entrance to the Hechal, Umudla al Gabi Klunsos, and it was supported by poles. The Chol Misha Misnadev, Ole Ogargir O Eshkol, anyone who wanted to donate to the Beis HaMikdash either a leaf, a golden leaf, or a gargir, a grape, or a cluster, maybe the Toileba. These were all things made of gold. He would come and hang it from this golden vine. Amar Belozer Rabbi Tzadok, Maisahoya, it once happened, the Nimnu Olel Shlosh Meas Kohanim Lefanosa. They needed 300 Kohanim to carry it away. Now, that is an exaggeration. It might have had a lot of, there were many contributions of gold to this vine, but you didn't need to have three, it wasn't that much that you needed 300 Kohanim to remove it. The commentary points out that if the reason that it's known that this is an exaggeration, because if you in fact needed 300 kohanim, and it would have been overweight, and the vine would have broken by now, and they therefore wouldn't have waited so long before removing it. The Gemara continues, the next triangle, Poroches Disnan. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Askan, Poroches, the curtain that separated the Kodesh from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, between the within the Hechal, the enclosed structure of the Beis HaMikdash, there was the Kodesh, which contained the Mizbeach, the menorah, and the shulchan, and on the other side of the curtain was the holy of holies that contained the Aron Habris. So there was a poroches of your tefach al shivim ushnayim nimim nereges. It had a thickness of a handbreadth, and it was woven by using a 72 strand. Thread, and it was threads, or would be cords, made of 72 strands. The al kol nima v'nima esrim v'arba chutin, and each one of them had 24 strings. So that we are describing the poroches made of 72 strands, and each strand was made of a thread or of a cord containing 24 threads. Orka arboim amo. The length was 40 amos. Verochpo esrim amo. The width 20 amos. These dimensions corresponded to the height of the hechal, 40 amos, and the width of the hechal, 20 amos. U mishmoinim ushtaim riboy nasis. It required 82 young women to make this. The word ribo has to do with ne'oros, with young women. Ushtayim oisin b'chol shana uvishana. And they would make two every year. V'sholosh me'es kehanim matbilin oisa. And here we have the exaggeration. And in order to toivel it, in order to immerse it for purification purposes, they required 300 kehanim. In the context of our shir, we're not getting into the details of why the immersion. That one can look into further commentaries for further elucidation. Hechelu malin begzirin lesader es hamarocha chutz mishel zayas umishel gefen v'chulei. The Mishnah made reference to the use of wood for setting up the fireplace, but they would not use olive wood nor grape wood. Hani mai taima, why the objection to the use of zayas and gefen? Two explanations. One, Rav Popo amar mishum dekatri, because of knots, and the knotting in the wood prevented it from burning well. The Rash, the commentary points out that the knotted wood produced a lot of smoke, and as a result of that, they avoided using that. Rav Acho bar Yankiv Omar, Mishum Yishuv de Eretz Yisrael. The primary consideration is the maintenance of an established Eretz Yisrael, of a settled Eretz Yisrael with all of its amenities. And by using olive and olive wood and vine wood, you would be reducing or limiting the amount of olive and grape production in the land of Israel. So because of our interest in maintaining as much preponderance of these substances, olives and grapes, we would avoid using the wood from those plants, from those trees. The Gemara now raises an objection. You'll notice that this takes a long time to develop. We have a long question marking that appears in the Gemara. The kuf that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line shows you the length of the question. Ultimately, we will be raising a question on the second approach, the approach of Rav Acha Bar Yankov. The Gemara asks, Meisvei, we have a Tanaic source which speaks about the wood for the marocha, for the fireplace. The pasuk says, Al ho'etzim asher al ho'esh. That's a reference to the wood in the fireplace of the Mizbeach. Eitzim hanetuchim lios esh. This is a reference to wood that burns well, to burn a good fire. There's a Gemara interruption in this Tanaic source, and we've indicated that with the brackets, and you can see a bracket length indicator as well to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. If we skip this for a moment, the Tanaic source continues with the question that we saw actually in our mission as well. V'chi kol ha'etzim cheri l'marocha, is all wood kosher, acceptable for the marocha? To that we answer, hein, kol ha'etzim cherim chutz min zayas v'gefen. Let's go over this source again now, reading the bracketed section. The pasuk said that one is to use wood that produces fire. Umai nihu, what is that? Doikri delo katri. These are doikri type of wood that doesn't have knots in it. The azli miktar mitocho. And let's read this again. The lo katri v'azli miktar mitocho. It's a type of wood that doesn't have knots that run into its interior. Now, v'chikol ha'etzim sherim arocha, is all wood acceptable for the fireplace? The answer is hein kol ha'etzim sherim chutz min zayas v'gefen, with the exception of olive wood and vine wood. Avol be'elu hoy regilim. What did they use on a regular basis? Be'murbios shel te'eno, v'shel egoiz, v'shel eitz shemen. Rabbi Eliezer, Moisif, Rabbi Eliezer adds to that which is forbidden, in addition to zayas and gefen, do not use af shel mayish, v'shel aloin, v'shel dekel, v'shel choruv, v'shel shikma. Each one of these are names of different kinds of woods. Should not use either. Well, we now have to bear in mind the opinions of Rav Papa and Rav Acha Bar Yankov before we read this source as to why they would not use zayas and gefen. So the Gemara now continues. Bishlamo leman d'omar mishum dekatri. Rav Papa, who gave the reason for not using the zayas and gefen as a result of their having knots in it and therefore would not burn well. Beha komifligi. We have a Tanaic source, and using that as a backdrop, we can then analyze this Tanaic source as follows. The Mor Sovar, Af Algav, Delo Katri Megavoi, Rabbi Elazar, who adds to the list of forbidden woods, he tells you that these additional woods that one should not use, even though they don't have knots that run into their interior, Kevon de Katri Mebaroi, Lo Maisinon, since they have external knots, don't bring them. Umor Sovar, the Tanakama holds, Umor Sovar, Kevon Delo Katri Megavoi, since they lack internal knots, Afalgav Dimibaroi Katri, even though the list that Rebbe Elazar gives have external knots, I, the Tanakama hold, Maisinon, bring them. Elo, Laman de Omar Mishum Yishuv de Eretz Yisrael. But according to Rav Acha Bar Yankov, who said they wouldn't use Zayas and Geffen because of the Eretz Yisrael consideration to allow for as much a preponderance of good things, well, Dekel mi les bei mishum yishuv de Eretz Yisrael. In the source, it says that they would Rebbe Elazar adds to the list of forbidden woods dekel. The Tanakama said they would use dekel, so that they were arguing, amongst other things, they were arguing about the dekel. So that the question is, if the Tanakama avoids Zayas and Geffen because of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, why does the Tanakama not avoid Dekel by the same token? Dekel meaning a date palm. Just like your Yishuv Eretz Yisrael consideration leads me to ban the use of Zayas and Geffen, olive and grape wood, ban the use of Dekel wood as well. That's date palm. And yet, the Tanakama allows date palm. So this brings into consideration, or into question, the explanation of Rav Acho bar Yankiv. Answer. And this answer takes a couple of lines to develop. Omar Loch, Rav Acho will be able to answer you, Ulitamech te'eno les bo mishum yishuv de'eretz Yisrael. You're asking on me from the issue of the dekel that the Tanakama allows. Well, you could have asked from the te'eno just as well, which he in fact allows. It says that they would use the te'eno, the fig tree, fig wood. Elo, my is loch lememar. What are you going to have to say as to justify the use of the fig wood? The te'eno delo avida peira. Well, you didn't ask on me from the fig tree because you already understood that you were dealing with a fig tree that doesn't produce fruits. Therefore, there is no consideration of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Well, Dekel Nami, the Dekel that he would allow is Bidalo Ovid Pira. It's a type of date palm that doesn't produce dates. So that you have palm trees, dekel trees, that don't produce dates. Therefore, there's no reason not to use it. In other words, the reason we gave not to use the Zayas and Geffen would not apply to the dekel, just like it doesn't apply to the te'eno, because you're dealing with a te'eno, which is a fig tree, but it's a fig tree that doesn't produce fruit. So to the dekel that the Tanakama is allowing does not produce fruits. Now the Gemara asks regarding the te'ena that was taken as a matter of fact that it does not produce fruits, but is that so? Umi ika te'ena delo avda pira? Is there such a thing as a fig tree that doesn't produce figs? The Gemara answers, and this answer takes a few lines to develop, hence we have a long answer marking. There is such a thing. Kidarachba, based on Rachba's comment. The Omar Rachba, Maisi Te'eni Chibrasa. They would bring wood or a stump from a Te'eno, it was a white Te'eno tree. V'shaifi Lahu, they would rub it, they would remove the bark from this Te'eno Chibrasa. B'chavla Ditzavsa, the tzorech ole bizra, chavla de tzafsa is a rope. Chavla is a rope. The tzafsa that's made from the bark of a date tree. So you have rope that's made from the bark of a date tree, and they would rub onto this rope. That's the tzorech ole bizra. They would rub onto it some seeds, and use this rope that had seeds rubbed onto it, and they would take this rope and use it as sandpaper, if you will, to remove the bark of the white fig tree, and then they would plant this branch. V'kavri hecho demasik yom asirton. They would then plant this now bark removed white te'ena wood in a place that there was a lot of water. In other words, that there was the masik yam sirton is a case where there was where there was a very damp soil, without giving a literal translation to that expression, but it means a place where there was a great deal of wetness. And as if one were to do this, namely to take the wood from a white fig tree, denude it, using this date rope method smeared with seed, this, and then planted the white fig wood in a place of ample water supply, kairo avda pirolo avda, it would produce wood suitable for beams, but no fruit. And the beams that this kind of tree would produce were so heavy, so substantial, utlas brechi minayu, three branches from this kind of tree, lo maxico lehu gamlo. Gamlo is a reference to a type of bridge, it's a type of a plank bridge. You wouldn't be able to carry across this plank bridge three beams from this kind of white fig tree because of their great heaviness. In other words, we're trying to describe something that was a very successful method of producing high-quality beams, and at the same time being called a fig tree, not producing fruit. See there, es hamarocha gedoyla, and then the Mishnah describing the setting up of the large fireplace, it says, v'chazisa mizrocha. There was an opening left in the between a large opening, a window in the setting up of the boards forming the large fireplace that was facing east. My taima, what was the purpose of this window left on the eastern side of the fireplace? So we have two opinions. Rav Huna and Rav Chisda. Chad Omar, one of them says, Kidei shetei haruach min hasheves ba, so that the wind blowing in from the east would blow through this opening, helping to fuel the fire. V'chad Omar, kidei shiu matzisen esualisa misham. That window, called relatively large window, left in the boards, was the means or entrance means of them lighting the kindling that was placed inside the fireplace. Meisvei, we raise an objection to the second opinion. The second opinion said that the chazisa mizrocha was left for the purpose of kindling. Meisvei, reva choya bein. There were spaces between the boards forming the fuel of the fireplace. The kindling was lit from between the spaces left between the boards. Now we want to emphasize here that spaces between the boards was the means of reaching the kindling and not the large window left open on the eastern side. So this is a kasha. This represents a problem for the second of the above opinions. He will answer very simply, Omar Loch, Mekoimois, Mekoimois Avdi. There were different locations for the lighting of the kindling. You had the space between the boards, and you had, in addition, the large opening on the eastern side of the fireplace. So, as far as answer number two is concerned, he can maintain his position that the Chazisa Mizracha, the large opening on the eastern side of the fireplace, was for kindling as well. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.